Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
For ID the Future, I'm David Klinghoffer. The popular media's attitude on evolution mixes several elements. Loathing for the large part of the public that doubts the Darwinian narrative, preening at its own presumed superiority in grasping science, and a fawning reverence for evolutionary biologists. Added to this is an unwillingness to weigh the evidence for themselves, offering the excuse that the experts must know best, so why bother? Veteran journalist Tom Bethel's new book offers a marvelous implicit rebuke on each of these points, but on the last in particular. In Darwin's House of Cards, a journalist's odyssey through the Darwin debates, he records his own investigation of the evidence, including interviews with lions of science and philosophy, such as Stephen Jay Gould, Richard Lewontin, Colin Paterson, and Karl Popper. Lo and behold, it's not beyond the intellectual reach of a reporter to get to the bottom of the controversy and to estimate the plausibility of Darwin's theory. Not a religious apologist or a cheerleader for any competing view, but rather an old-fashioned skeptic, Bethel has been doubting Darwin since he was an undergraduate at Oxford University. I admit he's a longtime friendly acquaintance and a contributor to Evolution News, which I edit, so I'm not unbiased. But others who, like me, have followed him for years agree in savoring his work. That includes some eminent names. Novelist Tom Wolfe has called him one of the most brilliant essayists, and Andrew Ferguson at the Weekly Standard, a great writer himself, says, quote, "As a journalist, Tom Bethel is fearless. As a storyteller and stylist, he is peerless. All his gifts are on generous display in this fascinating and admirable book." He's been writing about Darwin, among many other subjects, of course, for 40-plus years, beginning with an article in Harper's in 1976. Wry, unfailingly clear, never technical, yet astonishingly well-informed, he has produced what might be the platonic ideal of an introduction to an often challenging and certainly controversial subject. He covers the waterfront, probing the strength of Darwinian thinking with reference to common descent, natural selection, extinction, homology, convergence, the fossil record, biogeography, cladistics, Lenski's long-term experiment with bacteria, and much more. He concludes that while confidence in the pillars of Darwinism, common descent, and innovation through natural selection, hit their high water mark at the centenary celebration of the Origin of Species in 1959, the evidence has steadily and increasingly gone against the theory. The whole edifice rested on a 19th century faith in progress, propped up by a dogmatic commitment to materialism. As the former falters, the structure is in danger of collapse. With an apt metaphor, he sums up, quote, "At the moment, I believe the science of Darwinism amounts to little more than the wedding of materialism and progress. We have seen that if materialism is true, then Darwinism, or something very much like it, must also be true. But materialism is highly improbable and has been widely challenged. At the same time, it only takes one partner to break up a marriage, and as we know, progress has wandered off the straight and narrow," close quote. Bethel's humor is dry, subtle, his focus expansive, and his attitude utterly unapologetic. A unique feature of the book is its interviews. Philosopher of science Karl Popper, for example, spent time at the Hoover Institution at Stanford when Bethel was there and explained to him that despite reports, he, Popper, never really recanted his rap on Darwinism, calling it, quote, "not a testable scientific theory," and saying, quote, "there is hardly any possibility of testing a theory as feeble as this," close quote. Bethel's own view of evolution is as a thoroughly unjustified extrapolation from meager evidence. He recalls touring the Natural History Museum in London with senior paleontologist Colin Paterson, who, quote, "told me that he was looking for cases where the actual common ancestor of two given species was identified in the diagram on display. These would be at the nodes in the tree of life, but all the nodes shown in the museum were vacant. Patterson told me that as far as he could see, nodes are always empty in diagrams of the tree of life. Close quote. The vaunted fossil record is a mystery in evolutionary terms, with almost all known phyla having sprung into existence in a, quote, twinkling of perhaps 5 or 6 million years. Quote, how sudden is that? Compared with the reported 3 billion year history of life on Earth, the Cambrian explosion is the equivalent of 1 minute in a 24-hour day, close quote. As time goes by, evolution explains less and less. Conundrums abound and seem increasingly invulnerable to being solved, with any formula, that is, that excludes design. Experimentation shows that organisms evolve only to revert to a mean, a predictable, quote, reversion to the average, as famed breeder Luther Burbank put it. Species, according to Bethel, quote, inhabit plateaus of limited space upon which variants are free to roam. Artificial selection, beloved by Darwin, can, quote, push varieties around the plateau, but nothing more. Stasis and extinction, not transmutation, is observed. In a chapter on systematics, Bethel visits paleontologist Gareth Nelson at New York's American Museum of Natural History, a leading expert on anchovies. Nelson had a selection of the tiny fish preserved in alcohol and arrayed on his desk. Quote, when I asked about anchovy fossils, he said that a graduate student at the museum studied the question, and it turned out that all the fossils previously described as anchovies are not anchovies at all. So the fossil record of anchovies was reduced to zero. But then they found one at the British Museum from the Miocene in Cyprus, maybe 10 million years ago. It turns out to be the only known anchovy fossil. Quote, there is information suggesting it is the same kind of animal we find inhabiting the Mediterranean today, Nelson said. Close quote. You can almost hear the sigh in the scientist's voice. I love this kind of quietly mordant writing. Evolutionary science is in a depressed condition, despite all that the media do to put a bright face on the situation. They never tell you what biologists say behind closed doors in their technical literature, or to a journalist with the temerity to ask difficult questions. A random individual on Twitter tweeted to me the other day, quote, natural selection is the only theory that fits the facts. That's why it's a theory and not a long discredited hypothesis like intelligent design. Get out of your bubble, close quote. The naivete is heartbreaking, foisted on us by the credulous, pampered media. In fact, Darwin's theory of boundless novelty, generated via stuff blindly swishing around together, fits few or none of the facts. Get out of your own bubble, friend. Picking up a copy of Tom Bethel's wonderful book, published by Discovery Institute Press, would be a fine start, an act of self-liberation, and a great read as well. I'm David Klinghoffer for ID the Future.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org and idthefuture.com.